today on Anchored in the Word.
But is that what you want right now? If you were asked the question, is that you? Even so, come, Lord Jesus, right now. Do you want him to come back today? Or are you one of those, well, you know what, I my house really in order. I got to take care of a couple things before. If that's you today, God's saying, no, today's the day. Today's the day that you're going to get right, so you're ready. That you're going to be ready for me to return. None of this stuff, I don't want you to come back now, Lord, because I'm involved in this or that.
But I'm anchored deep in your clean love. I'm anchored deep in who you are. I'm anchored deep in holy word. I'm anchored deep in you, my Lord. I know you're with me.
This is Anchored in the Word, the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel Coastlands in Eatontown, New Jersey, with our pastor and teacher, Bill Beckelman. Are you ready for Christ to come back to earth, or do you feel like you want to tell God to wait a little while longer? Pastor Bill shares in today's message that our attitudes are to be full of eager anticipation for the returning of our Lord. No matter what is going on in our lives, may we hope and be excited for the return of Christ. At the close of Pastor Bill's message, I'll be sharing with you how you can get a copy of today's broadcast of Anchored in the Word. Subscribe to the podcast or simply get in touch with us. Now, here's Pastor Bill with today's message.
Blessed are those who do his commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life and may enter through the gates into the city. Now, he's talking about obedience in verse 14, but let me make it clear, he's not saying that you earn salvation or you earn the trip to the city by your obedience. What he's saying is that the people that have received the gift, this will be their tendency, this will be their heart, to be obedient to God, because it's a supernatural thing. When God saves a soul, he comes into that soul and gives them the desire to be obedient. Christian, let me ask you a question. Do you have a desire in your heart to do God's will? Do you have a desire to do what's right? Yeah, that's what he's talking about. And now he shows you what's right, and even if you're not doing it, oh, really, I missed that one. I'd like to do it. I want to do it right. That's why you feel guilty or you feel conviction when you do wrong, because the Spirit of God is living in you. That's evidence of your being a new creation. And so that's what he's speaking about. Those that enter in, those who have the privilege of the tree of life, are going to revisit the garden scene to the tree of life and enter into the gates of the city, the New Jerusalem. Remember what he said last week? No one defiled will be able to enter. No liar will be able to enter. No idolater will be able to enter. Now, that could have been your previous life, but you've been delivered from that. You're now a Christian, and that's who's going to be in the city. And then he says in verse 15, and again, at the very end of the Bible, another reminder, lest you forget, yeah, you're headed to the city, but it says, but outside are dogs and sorcerers and sexually immoral and murderers and idolaters. Whoever loves and practices a lie, there's going to be people that are not going to make it, that aren't going to be allowed into the kingdom. Into the city. Verse 16 says, I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify to you these things in the churches. Remember, in the book of Revelation at the beginning, there were seven churches that existed in 90 AD when this letter was written. And he said to John, I want you to write this down and give it to the churches. Get it out to the churches. Let these people hear this, that I'm returning and what it's going to look like. And of course, he's still getting into the churches today. He says, I am the root and the offspring of David, the bright and morning star, and the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him who hears say, come. And let him who thirst come. Whoever desires, let him take of the water of life freely. And this is the beautiful thing about God. He doesn't exempt anyone from that river of life. Anybody who wants to come can come. And the invitation is going out. And this is the beautiful thing about God. He doesn't exclude because of, you know, where you were born, your, you know, the nation that you hail from. He opens salvation to anyone. And it's a choice that you make to receive Jesus Christ into your life. And you will live by the choice that you make. Because not to receive him. He makes it clear that he is the only way. One of the messages of the Bible is Jesus is the only way. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. Are you saying that all the other religions are wrong? Well, here's what I would say to you. Let's make it more accurate. Jesus is saying that. Yes, he is saying that. He made it clear. I don't know how else he could, how much clearer could it be? I am the way, the truth, and the life. Right? The life. Not a life, a way, a truth. No. The way, the life, the truth, and no man comes to the Father but by me. So it's a narrow path, but he lets us know that path. And it's open to anyone, whoever desires it, to receive him. He says, let him take of the water of life freely. Verse 18 and verse 19 are a warning. A warning at the end of the Bible. Some believe this is just for the book of Revelation. I personally believe it's for the whole Bible. I believe it speaks to the whole Bible. There's two warnings here. One is the warning in verse 18. Let's just read it. For I testify to everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book, if anyone adds to these things, God will add to him the plagues that are written in this book. Now, whether it's the plagues in the book of Revelation, that's enough not to add to the word of God for. For those people that want to believe that it's only the Revelation, there's plenty enough in there not to want to have those plagues. So my encouragement to you is don't add to the word of God. Don't add to the word of God. Now, well, aren't you adding to the word of God, Pastor? Because you're not just getting up there and reading the word of God. You're talking about it now. Isn't that adding to it? I guess in that case, I'm not just speaking the word of God. I mean, I would love to just get up here and read the word of God to you. That, you know, but Jesus explained the word. You know, Paul explained the word. And we just believe that that's what we're here to do. Line upon line, precept upon precept. Hear a little, there a little. But explain the sense of what's being said is what we try to do. Unfortunately, you got a human vessel there and he gets interjected into it. That's just, it's like hose water, right? You know what hose water is? On a nice hot day, you're out there and you need a drink of water, and the only thing around is the hose, so you turn the hose on you, and it tastes like the hose a little bit, doesn't it? You got the living water coming out, and it tastes a little like the hose. That's unfortunately what happens when you got somebody preaching. But anyway, let it run for a while, and then it gets better, right? But anyway, forgive the hose water this morning. That's all I can tell you. The warning of adding to the word of God. And there are people that add to the word of God. There are doctrines that are made up that aren't from the word of God. The one that I always think about is that somehow people come up with by reading the word that apparently that you can live a life of ease on earth as a Christian. You can never be sick. You never have problems. And if you have problems, you're not spiritual enough. You need to really get a grasp on your faith kind of thing. You won't find that in the Bible. I mean, it's contradicting the Bible. The Bible talks a lot about suffering in the Word of God. And suffering can be beneficial to the Christian. You know, chastening is beneficial to the Christian. And so we're not supposed to desire suffering, I don't think. I don't desire to suffer. But God says that's part of life for us on this side of heaven. And we're not living heaven on earth right now. That's not what's happening. And there are doctrines that are adding to the Word of God. And I take this literally that I believe it's personally talking about all the plagues of the Bible, but that not to add anything to anything that's in the Word. So we got to be careful in that of adding to the Word of God, putting something there that's not there. And then verse 19 is the warning. It says, and if anyone takes away from the words of the book of this prophecy, if anyone takes away from the words of this book of this prophecy. Now, if I was going to weigh these two things, what's worse, adding to or taking away? You know, I mean, it's changing the word of God, right? But what seems to be worse, the penalty seems to be worse for the second one, to be honest with you. Look what it says. If anyone takes away from the words of the book of this prophecy. God shall take away his part from the book of life, from the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book. And you look at that and you think, what could that mean? It seems like it means that you could be in the book of life and then be out of the book of life. Well, there's places in the Word to talk about blotting out your name from the book of life. So, you know, what about the once saved, always saved people? Well, this is one of the scriptures they get an issue with, I think, is what it comes down to. But what I'm saying is, don't take away from the Word of God. Do not take away from the Word of God. And by the way, that's none of us are exempt from that, right? I remember the days when I was, I don't even know if I was a Christian, to be honest with you, but I was looking at the Bible, oh, no, that's not inspired of God. And I realized because I was doing that, and I didn't want to face up to it, so that didn't pertain. I was going to, you know, get rid of some of that and keep that, you know. But no, that's taking away from the Word of God. Now, there are some that will preach certain things, but I can guarantee you certain, I'm not going to mention names, don't have to. Most of you in the know what I'm talking about. They will not mention certain things on Sunday morning, like sin. No, we can't talk about sin. No, because, you know, people they won't feel good. I got to have an uplifting message after all. If you talk about sin, I mean, come on. What's uplifting about sin? You know, let's leave that one alone. Come on, sin's something very important. I mean, our Savior died because of that. And sin is really the problem that man has in his existence in the world. It affects us, body, soul, and spirit. It affects everything about us. We need to talk about sin. And by the way, we get the remedy for it, right? Not just we're going to tell you that you're a sinner, but how to be saved from the sin, right? How to be saved from it, overcome it, and be delivered from the presence of it eventually. The Bible talks all about that. There are people that will not talk about sin for whatever their reasoning is, but they're taken away from the Word of God. It's not so much, and these people are clever. And it never, to be honest with you, it never ceases to amaze me. And there's probably some of you that are watching these people on TV that think they're okay. And I don't know about that. That's one of the reasons I don't mention people by name, because if I do, you're going to get offended, never come back here. And eventually the Holy Spirit's going to show you that, so I don't have to say it.
Right.
You're going to realize it. It's not so much what they're saying, it's what they're not saying, these people. There's certain things they will not say. Oh, well, now I'm not saying, I'm not the judge. I'm not going to judge them if they're going to hell or not. Well, I can't say. What do you mean you can't say? The Bible says clearly that Jesus is the only way. Why can't you say that? But that's taking away from the Word of God. And that, my friend, is a serious matter, to take away from the Word of God. According to what it says here, it says that if anyone takes away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part from the book of life, from the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book. It's a serious matter. And by the way, this is a safeguard for me and for you that we go through the whole Bible. See, like I said at the beginning, what are we going to do now? That was a joke, right? Or, you know, what are we going to do now that we're finished with the Bible? We're going to go back to the beginning of it in the New Testament. We're going to start through again. We're going to do the full counsel of God. Hey, we're dragging through the Old Testament on Wednesday nights. It's, you know, we're in Isaiah. We're going through the book of Isaiah because it's the full counsel of God. But Paul said, he got to a point in his ministry, I can now declare to you that the whole counsel of God, that takes time. We're on a 15-year plan, okay? And some of you weren't even here when we started. That doesn't matter. Like some people say, you know, they feel like they missed out. I got to come back when you start in Genesis. No, you don't. Just get on the Bible bus right now. Don't buy into that one. Just get on where you're at. Oh, I came right at the end. Okay, well, starting over. Don't worry about that. Just we're going to go through the Bible, and eventually you're going to get a steady diet, a good, nice diet, and you're going to grow as a Christian if you apply these things to your life. And how do we keep from adding to the Bible? Go through the whole Bible. That's how we keep from taking away from the Bible, going through the whole Bible. That's a safeguard for me. But once again, we get to verse 20. He who testifies to these things says, surely I am coming quickly. It's the third time he said that in this chapter. You think it's important when God says something three times? I am coming quickly. I am coming suddenly. He says, amen, even so, come, Lord Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Now, You see that, even so, come, Lord Jesus? Is that your heart today? Think about this. This is rhetorical. I don't want you to say it out loud. But is that what you want right now? If you were asked the question, is that you? Even so, come, Lord Jesus, right now. Do you want him to come back today? Or are you one of those, well, you know what? My house really in order. I got to take care of a couple things before. If that's you today, God's saying, no, today's the day. Today's the day that you're going to get right, so you're ready. That you're going to be ready for me to return. None of this stuff, I don't want you to come back now, Lord, because I'm involved in this or that. Or I still want to do this with my life. I haven't gotten married yet. Let me go bury my dead, Lord, or whatever. You know, Lord says, no, today's the day. You know, it's always about today. But he's coming quickly. And what do you say about that? Is that okay with you? That the Lord could come back today? Thank you, brother. It's okay with me too. But for the Super Bowl? Come on, Lord. It's a Super Bowl 50. After all, isn't that a big year? The 5-0, they get the thing on their jerseys now and all that stuff. It's the big year, I'm sure. Yeah. Who cares? Jesus is going to, if he comes back, man, nobody's going to be thinking about the Super Bowl. I guarantee you. Forget it. Nobody remembers it anyway next year. You know, the year after that, who really cares? But, yeah, I like football like the next person, all right? You find that funny? I know I don't look like it, but I used to be an athlete, all right? But anyway, there's a hose water for you. Let's get back to the important stuff. Surely I am coming quickly. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Now, listen. The Lord said this. He said in John, he said, no longer do I just call you servants, but you are my friends. I call you friend. Listen, when Jesus Christ calls you friend, that's special. I mean, when he calls you friend, and then he goes on to say, you're my friend because I tell my friends what I'm doing. And I take that to mean he keeps us abreast of what's happening, what's going on in the world. And I'm not saying, I don't know how it's going to happen, how the whole thing's going to pan out, but he doesn't want us to be surprised. He tells us that in Thessalonians. He doesn't want us to be like those that it comes as a surprise. What? You're coming? You're here? You know, he doesn't want that to be. It's like he wants you to wake up, oh, the Lord's coming today. I just got this sense today that he's maybe coming. You know, this is the day. Hey, maybe you're wrong. Maybe you're not. But I think he wants us. I know he wants us to have that. Yeah, Lord, today's the day. I hope today's the day, Lord. Today's the day, you know? And it's sort of like you're excited about the Super Bowl, some of us. I mean, just a good illustration, right? Because it's pertinent. You know, you're excited about that time rolling around. Think about that. Even so much more so with the coming of the Lord. You know what I mean? And he wants us to live in that eminence because he's your friends. Now, what's the best way we can do that? Because I think we see that we need to be ready. I think we see that we don't want to be like, oh, man, the Lord's here, and I'm not, you know, we don't want to be like that. So what is the safeguard for us? So we saw that we need to be obedient. We saw that, right? We saw that obedience and to keep worshiping. Okay, we get those things, but how do we facilitate that? You know, what's the how-to on that? And here's the answer. It's like you go back to the thief illustration. You lock your doors daily, right? It only counts if you lock your doors daily. It's a fresh thing. Same thing with the Lord Jesus. It's got to be a daily thing with him. And when you come to the communion table, that's what it's signifying. You see, Jesus knew that the tendency of man, the tendency of disciples, were to stray, right? We're all like sheep, stray. And he knew that about us. And he was going to be leaving in the person, you know, with his body, he's going to go back to heaven. He's going to send his Holy Spirit. And he instituted communion to his disciples. And he said, when you eat this meal, when you eat this bread, and when you drink this cup, I want you to remember, be remembrance of me. Now, this what we're doing today is speaking to a couple things. And one is our communion with the Lord. And communion, I know we only do it once a month, but believe me, that's a bad illustration of what it's supposed to be with the Lord. Like if I was once a month, I'll read my Bible once a month, right? Because we do communion once a month. And by the way, there's no mandate in the church that we have to do it every day, but what this signifies is our communion with the Lord, or our fellowship with him. You know, your relationship, not relationship. A husband and a wife, because of their marriage, they have a relationship, right? They're husband and wife. That's a relationship. But if they spent, one of them lived in California, one of them lived in New York, and that's the way that they lived, they wouldn't have much fellowship, would they? Now you got the phone, you got texting, but still, it's not much of a relationship. And you're not going to know the person, especially, you know, you get married to somebody and they end up living in, you know, two different places. How are they going to come to know each other? And so when we come, this idea of the table, when we come, it speaks to a freshness. It's just, it's a daily, should be an understanding of a daily, my time with my Lord. Like you would, you know, I see my wife every day, every single day. And when I'm not with her, it's unusual, and I have to call her or however I can to reach out to her. That's fellowship. And the Lord, that's the kind of relationship that he wants, the bride of Christ, and we are the bride of Christ. So that idea, that's the best safeguard for being ready, watching and being ready. Because I believe he's going to inform us. Not like, I got the day and the hour, you know, and here it is. You know, I'm really close to Jesus. No, that's not what I'm talking about. It's not going to happen like that. But I believe that there will be a peace when it happens with us, to those that are in communion with him. Those that spoke to him that morning. Those that woke up in the morning and said, oh, good morning, Jesus, and had their thing. They're not going to be as surprised as a person who hasn't read their Bible in several months. You get what I'm getting at, what I'm saying? And so we come to the table. It's a reminder to us. Jesus said it. As many times as you do it, once a month, every day, as many times as you eat this bread and you drink this cup, do it in remembrance of me. Put me in the forefront of your mind and heart. That's what he was talking about. I need to be in the forefront of your mind and heart. Hey, go to the Super Bowl, watch the Super Bowl, but it can't be more important to you than me. And by the way, as we end, there may be something in your life today that is sitting on the throne besides Jesus, something that is more important to you. If you were honest, if you were just to say, yeah, well, you know, I think about this all the time. This is where I spend all my waking time and energy is on this particular one thing or this person or whatever else. And God is calling you today to get ready for his return by renouncing that and putting that person or that thing in its rightful place so that Jesus can be in his rightful place. That's called idolatry. When something or someone is more important to you than the Lord.
Thanks so much for joining us here on Anchored in the Word. It's such a blessing to bring you this sound Bible teaching every day. It's our prayer that Anchored in the Word is being used by God to further the growth and discipleship you're already experiencing at your church. Perhaps you're listening today and you don't have a home church. The messages you hear from Pastor Bill here on Anchored in the Word are produced from worship services at Calvary Chapel Coastlands. So, if today's message has blessed you and you don't have a home church, please join us for worship. For more information, log on to anchoredintheword.com and follow the link to the church website. We encourage you to join us next time as Pastor Bill continues teaching verse by verse through the book of Revelation. To learn more about Anchored in the Word, Pastor Bill, or Calvary Chapel Coastlands, log on to www.anchoredintheword.com. There you'll find helpful tools that you can use as you study God's Word. Again, our web address is anchoredintheword.com. Social media is such a big part of our lives these days. We encourage you to visit our Facebook page and become our Facebook friend. Log on to anchoredintheword.com and follow the link to our Facebook page. Or you can always give us a call. Our phone number here at Anchored in the Word is 732-544-2225. That's 732-544-2225. And don't forget to place a marker in your Bibles and join us again as Pastor Bill continues teaching through the book of Revelation.